League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
A late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Overenzi. It's the Utah Jazz's world. We're just living in it. They're owning the NBA. We're breaking it down. We're talking NBA basketball. Of course, we'll do an overnight line check for Saturday's games. We're going to get into the Daytona 500. Steve Merrill is one of the few handicappers that talks football and basketball that can switch gears literally and figuratively and step onto the track. Steve is from Virginia. Steve's great. Of course, me and Steve have been talking NASCAR for a long time. So we're going to start doing it again as Denny Hamlin looks to do something that nobody's ever done in NASCAR history before, and that's win three straight Daytona 500s. Nobody's ever done this. 62 Daytona 500s in the past. Nobody's ever won three races in a row. Denny Hamlin's got the last two in his back pocket. Can he pull off the third? I think he can. So we'll see what Steve Merrill has to say. Tony Finn on the radar this evening in Las Vegas, Nevada. Wager Talk and Sports Memos. Tony Finn, Drew Martin Betts in Las Vegas will step up and in and join us. We'll talk college basketball, college futures, March Madness with Drew Martin. As you know, the NCAA tournament is now just a little more than a month away. Selection Sunday is going to be March 14th. And they're going to have the play-in games and stuff like that in Dayton. But the tournament, there's no basketball on Thursday. So there's going to be basketball on Friday. So the first two rounds, so instead of Thursday, Friday, it's going to be Friday, Saturday. And then the next round would be Sunday and Monday, which is all cool until you get to the Monday. And you want to talk about screwing over casinos and hotels, in future years. Now, I don't know if it's this year that they're doing this, if this is some sort of like, I don't know. It seems like a stupider, this seems like one of the dumbest ideas in the history of sport, doesn't it? Like people like March Madness, like really? Like you take off Thursday and Friday, what are you going to do? Oh, and now Monday? We're really going to be playing basketball on Monday? But hey, whatever, it is what it is. I'll take the tournament. J.J. Watt released by the Houston Texans. Surprisingly enough, Brett Favre has not said anything about sticking it out. Funny, Deshaun should stick it out, but J.J. is all right to go. The late night anger management class continues. Bring it.
What is the winning edge? It's sports news you can use.
And you can only get it right here.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Sports Grid.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to a different kind of sports talk.
We're not just talking about sports,
but talk about sports you can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Hey, Mo, want to come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't count out the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hear that President Clinton is going to be watching with his wife, Hillary.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenzi. Throwing it down to Friday night. The freak show has begun. We go through football withdrawals, but we've got NBA basketball, college basketball. We've got UFC. We've got NASCAR. We've got Pebble Beach. So we're a long ways away from where we were about a year ago, in which all that we had was NASCAR, a couple of skins, golf games, and some UFC events. It's been a hell of a year, hasn't it? It's hard to believe that we're moving in on a year right now of this pandemic. Yet, it seems as though that there's a corner being turned right now. And you see that even New York City is going to be allowing fans, 2,000 fans, will be allowed on February the 23rd at Madison Square Garden, although it's not easy. You have to have a negative COVID test within 72 hours of the event to get into the building. But at least there's a structure for this. And look, the Buffalo Bills did the same thing when there were fans at the Buffalo Bill playoff games, 6,700 fans. They also had to have proof of a negative COVID test. But I see the restaurants, indoor dining has opened up in New York City. I heard Stephen Espinosa, who's the head of Showtime on Scotty Farrell's show yesterday, and he'd be in tune with this, putting on some of the biggest boxing matches all the time. And he said that maybe some limited fans at boxing events this summer, but it's not a full out, everything's going to be fine this summer. Like, baseball's back and stadiums are full. No. Besides in Florida, I think they want to put a bubble over the state of Florida now, like they did in The Simpsons. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now from the state of Virginia. Steps up and in. How you doing, Steve?
What's going on, Gabe?
You all right, Steve? Are you all right, Steve?
Yeah, but it's switching headsets here. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Try to switch headsets before you come on.
I had two different headsets here, and I thought one was working, and we're good. I've been multitasking, doing too many videos today. I've got two, three different things. I use a nice big headset for your show because this one sounds better, but I use the old earpiece, like cheap Apple one for the TV shows because it looks better, and I confused myself on what I had where. We're good. How you doing?
You sound good now, Steve. Thank you. All right. We're off to a great
start. I always want the best for you, Gabe.
Yeah,
if I can't give you my beautiful face, I want to give you double the video audio quality.
Oh, the audio does sound good once you settled in after the 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, I was giving the other one a shot, so I didn't have to switch things over, but I could tell right away it was distance, so that's why I switched. I switched real quick. On the fly, man. On the fly.
Yeah, listen, I don't want to say that, anytime we ever have any issues with anybody. There always seems to be Apple involved, but I think we're on some Apple platform, so they're a great company. They do a great job. It must be the user's fault and not the product. It's not the product's fault.
This one's from 2011. That's like my original headset from like the iPhone 4 10 years ago. So that actually shows that they do make a pretty good product because it's still holding strong.
Well, that's maybe the older products are better than the new ones, to be honest. So I was talking about Utah getting no respect. And, you know, last night they opened up. FanDuel had it at -1. I said, that's crazy. And, you know, we're on the air late, so we see the opening numbers. Boom, it's -1. I said, guys, it's going to go up. I said, they should be 4.5, 5-point favorites in this game. Yet, I don't know why the public, I don't know, it's a combination of, it seems like the sports books data, the sports books ratings have the Milwaukee Bucks, I think, higher than they should. And I think they have the Utah Jazz rated lower than they should. The Jazz are just destroying teams right now, Steve. I mean, a dominant home team. We were talking about a team that came into tonight, what, like 16-1 in their last 17 games? Now 17-1. They've only not covered twice along the way when they lost once to Denver and they didn't cover against Detroit once. But just a dominant basketball team. And Utah... we're hosting a team that's been on the road all week in Milwaukee. And without Drew Holiday, it was amazing to me, the lack of respect in the number tonight in this game, Steve.
Yeah, both Teddy Covers and I talked about this game on Wager Talk TV this afternoon. We both did the NBA tip-off show, and Teddy had a good point about Milwaukee. He goes, like, if you look at them, they've been covering against bad teams and not stepping up against good teams. Like when they're 7 or less, favorite of 7 or less. I think it's only the second time they've been a dog all season. But keep in mind, one of those Class A matchups was back in early January, in which they were actually a 5-point home favorite against Utah and lost that game outright by 13 points. And then tonight they lose outright once again by 14 points. So Milwaukee has failed to step up against good teams this year. For several years now, I've always said they're kind of a paper tiger, paper lion, whatever term you want to use, because they, you know, dominate in the regular season and they kind of fade in the playoffs. And we saw them vastly underachieve this past summer in the bubble. And I think, once again, they're an overrated team, whereas the Jazz, like you said, are underrated. And whenever a team goes 16-2 against the spread on a 17-1 straight-up run and still goes 16-2 against the number now, that tells you all you need to know. That shows that they're not setting the lines high enough.
Yeah, and it shows also that, exactly, Utah have covered some big spreads along the way and smoke teams, and then have also won against good teams in which the price is moderate. Look, they laid 6 against Boston. So that's actually a good comparison here. So look, they laid 6 points against Boston the other night, Steve. Tonight it opened at 1, but it closed at 2.5. But I don't know. I don't think Milwaukee are 5 points better than Boston are. You know what I'm saying? Like, talking about Milwaukee being a little bit overvalued. As you stated, you and Teddy are right. They're front runners. They're great at smoking average teams and bad teams and have a hard time stepping up because they just don't play defense. And they were without Drew Holiday as well tonight, Steve. I know it's easy. Like, a lot of times we can say after the fact, oh, it was a bad line, but I actually did say this last night, like before the game. I was like, this is unbelievable. They're like, the lack of respect is unreal, and there's just another cash ticket. Yet I said, listen, Steve, as good as Utah have been this year, people don't really talk about them or consider them as you know, like, yeah, they're the team to beat in the NBA. And you look right now, the Utah Jazz come in at 14-1. They're coming at 14-1. The Lakers are plus 250. The Clippers are plus 500. That's the real question, isn't it, Steve? Can the Utah Jazz beat the Lakers or the Clippers in a series? And I'm starting to believe that they can.
Yeah, I mean, the one problem, I guess, you could say with Utah is that you look at who they've played here over the last 2 months. You know, they haven't played either L.A. team, as you mentioned. They played Denver on the road. They only won that by 4. That was their closest win during this entire 17-1 run. And their only loss was the other game at Denver. So you can make an argument their two toughest road opponents during this span, other than Milwaukee, which started the current run, by the way. That was what started this 17-1 run. Was a narrow win and a loss at Denver. So they this was an impressive win tonight, but maybe Milwaukee's just overrated. But yeah, we need to see him do it against the Lakers, especially, and even the Clippers. And Denver was the other team to beat. Keep in mind, those were the three best teams in the West last year in the playoffs. Were Denver and the two LA teams. And so far, Utah is 1-1 during this 17-1 run against any of those three teams, both against Denver. With that said, though, they're not just covering games, Gabe. They're dominating the points spread. They're winning most of these games by double digits, including tonight, once again, the Boston games you referenced. In fact, if you're looking back over these last 18 games during the 17-1, 16-2 spread run, only four of them have been within a couple baskets of the line.
Oh, they're dominating games. And I think they're better than Denver. Although, don't forget, they blew a 3-1 series lead to them last year. Lower Merrill on the other side.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Bring it.
Coming at you all day.
Every day.
With more attitude than other lesser networks would deem appropriate. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Look, we're not saying all the other sports talk networks are backwards, but we're pretty sure they all have a favorite Hee-Haw episode.
Get on the grid.
Hee-Haw. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Maybe I'll go down to the track, put it all on a horse.
Why don't you put it in the bank?
The bank? This is found money. I want to parlay it. I want to make a big score.
Oh, you mean you want to lose it?
This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Brenzi, the Friday Night Freak Show. We're kicking it Sirius XM, Channel 204. Steve Merrill joining us right now from Wager Talk TV. We'll get into the NASCAR Utah Jazz victorious once again this evening. And we were just discussing, whether they could beat the Los Angeles Lakers or the Los Angeles Clippers. And I think I'm not buying fully into the Clippers. I have a lot of respect for Kawhi Leonard as a player, yet at the same point in time, I don't really think much of his castmates. I don't think Lou Williams plays good enough defense to ever win a championship. I don't think they get it. I just don't think like they're players. And basically, they're going to try to get Kyle Lowry now. And they're going to try to just brace. Kawhi's just trying to bring everyone from Toronto in to try to carry his ass right now because he knows the guys that he has now can't. Why do you think he got Ibaka? Right? So it's like now he's trying to get Kyle Lowry and, we'll see how that plays out. But I'm not fully buying in. The Lakers, whatever, the Lakers, we have to take seriously, Steve. But I'll tell you, how long is this 14-1 going to be there? Let's say the Utah Jazz, Steve, continue to play the way they are. And I'm not talking about at this rate at 16-2, but you know what I mean? Let's say the Jazz are dominant. They have the best regular season record. How long, before they become 6-1, 7-1, Steve? 14-1, I think, is a pretty good number for this team. The Sixers are 14-1. The Bucks are 7-1. I'd rather the Jazz at 14 than the Bucks at 7. How low do you think Utah's number will go, and how long will it take for it to drop, Steve?
Yeah, I think on the surface, there's no question they should be less than 14-1. I mean, if you're really looking at what's happened on the court this year, they should be the 2-1 team. But you always have to take everything with a grain of salt in the regular season. I expected Milwaukee and the two LA teams to kind of go through the motions in the regular season. Now, I think Milwaukee's got bigger problems, as we've referenced. The difference, of course, Gabe, is that they're in the much, 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 much weaker Eastern Conference. So Milwaukee's got a much more clear path to the finals than all those other teams that have to fight it out in the quarters and even the semifinals in the West. But with that said, I mean, Utah should not be 14-1. They have as good of a chance to win it as anybody right now from what we've seen. And also keep in mind that they're going to have true home courts come playoff time. The altitude isn't as much of an issue because there's really no back-to-back situations. That's when Utah really shines with that altitude edge. You know, the travel will be the same for all the teams. But I still think they have a strong home court, and they've been an excellent road team this year. But the Lakers are still the team to beat when they want to turn it on. If LeBron stays fresh, you know, and they go into the postseason. But the Clippers are an interesting team. You know, they're a team that really fell apart last year against Denver. And you mentioned how Utah fell apart against Denver. And then the Clippers fell apart against Denver. And now we look at the Nuggets. They're just 13-11 on the season. So it's hard to know what to make of all these teams. But I agree with you. I mean, 14-1 is not an accurate price based on what we've seen so far from the Jazz.
I don't, when I look, I don't buy in when we look at the Western Conference. The Denver Nuggets are good, but they haven't improved, in my opinion. Instead of building on what they had, Steve, you know what I mean? They lose Jeremy Grant, and I get it. They can't pay everybody, but they lose Jeremy Grant. Jamal Murray's a little inconsistent. Jokic is good. But I don't know. They don't have enough. Like, they just don't have enough to get over the top to me. But you talked about Denver and Utah. I mean, Steve, I think if those two teams played 20 games, it would be 10-10 and it would come down to the wire. Like, remember last year, you know, I went to game 7 and it was like 80-78 or something stupid like that. But I just think the number is damn good, guys, because I don't think the Utah Jazz are a fluke. So I'm just saying, and if you don't buy into the Jazz, fine. You know, I'm not trying to sell you on that. But what I am selling you is they're going to keep on playing well, and eventually it's going to be 6-1, 7-1. Like, this number is not, you know, you're not, it's not going to be here forever. And what I find amazing, Steve, is like the day after and the day of the deal in Brooklyn, they were made, you and I talked about it, they were made overwhelming favorites in Eastern Conference. Man, the Lakers were like plus 280 and Brooklyn were like plus 290. And it's funny, pretty much every day they drop a bit. Brooklyn's up to plus 440 right now. And I'm not buying in, Steve. I know there's so much basketball left, but I don't see a happy ending for the Brooklyn Nets. There's no Robert Kraft ending coming for these guys.
Yeah, Gabe, you and I were the ones Tuesday night talking about the East, right? Like, which team will sneak out? We're saying the Sixers, right? Weren't we talking about that Tuesday night, kind of how wide open it was? Yeah, so I mean, you know, there again, I mean, Milwaukee could get there by default. You know, we talked about how maybe the Raptors could pick things up. But remember, I also mentioned Tuesday that you got to have like a go-to, you know, superstar stud, and like how Tatum with the Celtics kind of emerged last year as that guy. And I wasn't sure the Raptors really had a 7-game. You know, Van Fleet can be great one night. You know, Lowry is solid, but they don't have that Kawhi Leonard like they did when they won the title. Let's get back to the Jazz, though. Donovan Mitchell emerged last year in the playoffs as a superstar. You know, he had the 50-point games, and this is a guy that could be that type of player. So not only is Utah, you know, 20-5 or what, 21-5 on the season, they also have a guy that really could be that go-to standalone, take a game over guy in Donovan Mitchell. So I think that's one of the reasons they are a legitimate contender, and there's only maybe 5 or 6 teams you can say that about.
And to me as well, let's not forget one of the best defensive players in the NBA and Rudy Gobert as well. Right. So let's take a look at the overnight numbers. And Steve's been crushing the NBA this year. So let's take a look at the overnight numbers. Speaking of Philadelphia, Philadelphia lost basically at the buzzer last night against Portland. They're 1-point favorites at Phoenix, total 225.5. Always difficult to lock in picks. It's our first look at this stuff, and we can never confirm the rosters. Obviously, as anyone who follows the NBA knows, it can be volatile. The Atlanta Hawks tonight. Mm-hmm. So listen, the Hawks play again. Hawks got absolutely massacred tonight. And you look at the Hawks schedule over the last week or so, and I cut them some slack earlier tonight on Game Time Decisions. I said, yeah, they're losing games, but they played Dallas and they lost a couple of heartbreakers. They played the Lakers. You know, they beat the Raptors. They've been playing tough teams, but they hadn't been getting it done. But tonight, they just got punched in the mouth early. They were down by 30 after the national anthem was over, Steve. You know, tomorrow, now the Pacers roll in here, who haven't exactly been the hottest team in the NBA, Steve. But, man, suddenly the Pacers are 1.5 favorites against Atlanta. Atlanta's struggling right now.
Yeah, Atlanta only lost by 11 at home tonight, but they were down by 38 heading into the fourth quarter. I mean, they outscored San Antonio 42-15 and still lost by 11.
So you have to like that. Do you like that carrying into this game, right? That they sent the message
exactly.
That we're not quitting, we're not going to be down early, right? It's a good message, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that, exactly right. That's what I was thinking as well, Gabe. And like, maybe we'll take a little shot on him at the first half at like kind of a minus a half, you know, pick on price range because it's only 1.5 for the game. I think they, you know, maybe Atlanta first half, even a first quarter play could be worth a look.
Last night, it is, I guess, technically, no matter, depending on where you are, today, last night, whatever, but let's call it tonight. Tonight, I was on the Knicks against Washington. Another one of these games, it's easy to say after, ooh, we should have hit it. I actually bet this one a lot bigger than I normally been betting regular season games. The Washington Wizard lineup was just so depleted without Bradley Beal. And they're already thin to begin with, as it is. But now the Knicks go back home. They lost Mitchell Robinson tonight, guys. Fractured his hand. So Houston Rockets are 1-point favorites at the Knicks. I like the Derrick Rose acquisition, though, Steve. I like the Derrick Rose acquisition. Reunited with Thibodeau. We saw the veteran presence that he brings on the court already to them. Houston roll into New York. Any opinion on this game? Rockets laying 1 in New York?
Yeah, we actually talked about the Wizard-Knicks game today on NBA Tip-Off on Wager Talk TV, and the contrarian plays on the season were like 18-7, and this was the contrarian play with the Wizards, but it was a little misleading. In fact, Teddy and myself, we both disagreed with this one, which we rarely do, because as Teddy pointed out, the line didn't really move because of public money on the Knicks. It really moved because, as you said, Gabe, Beal was out. You know, they opened as about a 1.5-point favorite, closed as a 3-point dog. But that was basically the odds makers moving it. And I could not come up with a reason to back the Wizards. In fact, I leaned towards the Knicks in this one on the show today. Knicks were coming up back-to-back, you know, losses. And then they were, you know, getting basically, you know, in a pickup situation, much better defensive team. And the Wizards, you know, are just terrible right now. And Michael Westbrook was going to kind of take over tonight, which he did. He took 22 shots, which were twice as many shots as any other player in the lineup took for the Wizards. And he was only 10 for 22, 23 points, a negative 19 plus minus. I mean, yeah, you can't touch the Wizards right now. So the question becomes, do you trust the Knicks tonight, you know, on Saturday night? They're a good defensive team still, but they have been fading, by the way. They've given up about 45% shooting until tonight over their last five. It's a tough call. We'll have to see who's in the lineup and whatnot. But I think the Knicks at some point will be a play against here in the near future.
Steve Merrill with us, and Steve let it slip right there that he's an old school Washington football fan. Called Russell Westbrook, Michael Westbrook.
I say Michael?
Yeah, it rolled off the tongue. Yeah, well, I heard you say it.
I've done that so many times, Gabe, over the
when
years.
When I heard you
it's
say it.
It's unbelievable how often I do that.
I was like, yeah, Washington. And in fact, you remember, Steve, remember he knocked out his teammate in a practice who was on film? He attacked the dude. Westbrook went on to, he went on to be like an MMA fighter and stuff. And, of course, he's the guy that broke our heart. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He went on to fight after. Yeah, yeah. He had a lot of rage, that guy. Had a lot of rage.
I was pretty sure that receiver.
Oh, I do it all the time with names. First name, last name.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I do it all the time. I just caught it. This forgot it. I thought, well, Steve is a Washington first. Redskins, old school fan. Westbrook was on the team. Michael Westbrook. Russell Westbrook. All right, more rage on the other side. Bring it.
You can listen to Sports Grid on the radio, TV, or the internet.
A technology grand.
Keep it here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think of us as just sports talk. Think of us as a full immersion crash course in sports news you can use. You listen,
you learn.
Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, listen, I need some cash.
What for?
I just need it, that's all.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You're gambling again, aren't you? Oh, you weak, weak man. What?
His sports rig. Shout out to Brian Rowe kicking it. New Jersey in the house. Rutgers Rowe, as we call him. Deerslayer Ski in the house. I think he's actually in Jersey or New York as well. James McInnes joining us in our chat from Australia. Van Fob from Vancouver. Eric. I think Eric might be in Ottawa, actually. I'm not sure, but we could do a roll call a little bit later on. There's our main man, Crash. In Los Angeles. We got Steve Merrill in Virginia. We got Joe Kim in the house as well. We got Steve Merrill in Virginia throwing it down with us on a late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I'm Morenci. We're just going over the overnight numbers here for the NBA. We'll get into some NASCAR with Steve. But we got a fun game tomorrow night. Brooklyn Nets -4 on the road in San Francisco to take on Golden State. The Golden State Warriors get 4 points. And Steve, the Warriors have shown some life over the last 2 weeks. Steph Curry is just carrying these guys and lighting it up. And Draymond Green's assist prop, guys, has been killing it. Steve, I know you're not the biggest NBA prop player, but I'll tell you what. I'm going to be betting on Steph Curry tomorrow. This guy's going to hit like 8 threes in this game. He's going to score 1,000,000 points, and there's no total posted. And I've just checked multiple books. No total posted, but I am seeing Brooklyn -4, Steve.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing as well, Gabe. I was curious about that. There is no total, and of course, the Nets are the one team I've loved talking about totals over the last few weeks. You know, in the last month or so, they've just been an over machine. They went, 16-1 to the over. And keep in mind, the only game that stayed under during that span was the second of a back-to-back against Miami. The first game had 252. The second game only had like 183. So if you took that one out, and I think you really can, because you know how these zigzag back-and-forths work, they'd gone over in the other 16 games. But since then, they're 2-1 to the under the last three, and things have slowed down a bit. So maybe we've seen that turning point. And then the Warriors, meanwhile, surprisingly, have gone under 6 of their last 8. So this might not be the most obvious over like we would have thought a few weeks ago. But like you said, no total out there right now.
You know what's going to be high. What's your guess? I'll say the total is going to be 234. 233, 234, Steve, in that range. That's what I'm saying. What do you think it'll be?
Well, you looked at... Yeah, the Warriors are 226 a game. The Nets are about 238. And the NBA average is right around 222, 223. So that would make it about 240 just based on the math. But that's full season. And the Nets have been even more of an over machine, in recent weeks. So it should be in the 240-plus range. It'll be very interesting because,
So now you're almost making me jump in, because I'm telling you right now, Steve, it won't be. It's going to be 234, 235 and a half max. We might even have it before we're done in the next 15 minutes. I'm hitting refresh right now. I'm searching the globe, Merrill, right now for a line. Can you believe
this? Yeah, I don't think you're going to have it. I'm not seeing it anywhere, Gabe. I'm seeing fours everywhere with no total. So I think it'll be in the morning. But here's what's interesting, Gabe. The reason the Nets went over 16 out of 17 games is because only twice was a total set above 240, and only one time it was 240, 241, 244s. everything else was in the 230s. So, you know, I mean, that's what I'm saying, that the line based on the math should be like 240, but I don't think it will be either, especially since these teams have gone under more recently.
Wow. Yeah, it's a Saturday night primetime game with Brooklyn and Golden State. Too bad that Durant won't be playing. So we went over the board. Philadelphia, Phoenix, Indiana, Atlanta, Houston, New York, and Brooklyn and Golden State tomorrow. All right, Steve, let's get into the NASCAR. So I set the stage earlier off the top of the program a bit. And, you know, people always talk about the plate races at Talladega and at Daytona. And I know they're different, but, there's always the talk about, well, they're kind of random. And there are, once in every couple of years, you get that, you know, that Trevor Bayne, you get that big long shot that'll hit. But seems to me it's kind of the same guy, Steve, right? Like, you know, Keselowski in Alabama and Denny Hamlin in Florida. And so no driver, and I was telling people earlier, Steve, no driver has ever won three straight Daytona 500s before. Denny Hamlin has the chance to do it. And I talked about this earlier on Game Time Decisions. I like the fact, Steve, that he embraces it. He doesn't say that, oh, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. He says, I hope that I'm around and I don't wreck early, that I give myself a chance to make history, because ultimately, that's what I'm here for. Making history, doing something that no one else has ever done. And that's what motivates me to want to get this one. I love it. It's too many times, Steve. Oh, I had no idea I was about to break the record. No, Hamlin says, yeah, you're damn right I'm aware that no one's ever won three Daytona 500s before in a row. What do you think? FanDuel's got him at 8-1, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy that has won three of the last six. You know, we talk about how unbelievably random it is, and it is, because like you said, you don't see other tracks in which 50-1 and 100s-1 have won like four or five times in the last couple decades. You know, maybe it happens once off on a rain-shortened or fuel mileage race, but it can happen all the time here. Yet with that said, you've got one guy's won three of the last six. So it's random, yet it's not. What makes it random is that you could tell me who's the top two or three cars with one lap to go, and I still would have less than a 50% chance of naming the winner. That's the problem. Because for, you know, people that aren't NASCAR fans, these were restrictor play tracks. Daytona and Talladega, they're the only 2.5 miles. They're the fastest tracks. They go so fast, they have to slow them down by putting air restriction on the carburetor, an actual restrictor plate on the carburetor. So that's the problem, is that they're clumped together, as you know, Gabe. We're going to almost 100% guarantee a crash on the final lap. It'll go to overtime. There'll be another two restarts in overtime. Then they'll finally finish with half the cars left in the field. And if you could tell me who, you know, 5 or 10 of those drivers are going to be, we could play them all at 15-20-1 on a lot of them. We'd make money. The problem is you don't know who's going to be left in there after all the chaos. Hamlin has found a way to stay out of trouble over the years. And I do think there's some skill to that. But there's also a lot of luck if you get caught in the big one or not. You know, and guy, I'll tell you, other than Hamlin, who's obviously up there, you mentioned Keselowski at Talladega. His numbers haven't been as good at Daytona, but still very similar tracks. I said coming into the week, Team Penske was the team to beat. Blaney, Keselowski, and Logano would be my top three picks across the board. I watched the duels last night. Logano was in contention to win. He went from second to fourth on the final lap, but could have won it. Blaney was leading with 20 laps to go in the other duel. I mean, all three of them looked really strong, so nothing I've seen has changed my opinion on a Penske Ford to be the team to beat.
Yeah, and you look, you talk about these guys. They've all have had success here before. Joe Logano has won a Daytona 500 before. Brad Keselowski has won a Daytona 500 before. What's amazing, though, guys, is Keselowski, we talked about this. It's fascinating. And, of course, me and Steve, it's our bro trip that we have. We're going to Sonoma. We're going to drink wine. Yeah, we're going to Sonoma one day. But completely different than Watkins Glen. Both road courses, but same guys don't do well. Different courses. But it's amazing to me that Keselowski, the guy's got 5 wins at Talladega, right? But just one at Daytona. But obviously, he's a good plate racer. You mentioned Ryan Blaney. This is amazing. Ryan Blaney's won in Talladega a couple of times, and he finished in second place last year at Daytona. Blaney's definitely a guy in the mix. I brought him up earlier in the day, and what's Blaney right now? He was like 14-1 earlier. Let me double check and see now the updated odds here. So, and you know, I'm looking at Hamlin. you know, I sort of, I'll take like three guys, Steve. I can't take six guys. Golf, you can take sort of more guys because the odds are so big. I'll probably end up taking about three, four drivers in the end, Steve.
Yeah, Gabe, actually, Blaney's 14-1 to win the NASCAR championship this year. I think that's what you're thinking. He's actually the second favorite now at FanDuel at 10-1, along with Logano and Elliott. And Keselowski's 12-1. So they've done a very good job setting the odds. You know, we keep talking about how random this race is, yet those guys are the favorites for a reason. But let's put it in perspective. Hamlin's 8-1. Everybody else is...
They readjusted.
Right.
They readjusted. Blaney was like 14-1. You're right. That's why I said I didn't hit refresh yet. So coming into tonight. So Blaney comes in, 10-1 right now. Chase Elliott, 10-1. Logano, 10-1. Kyle Busch, another good plate racer, 12-1. Keselowski, 12-1, Steve. What about, like, so there's guys, though, man. There's guys here that we're going to, like, what about Eric Jones at 40-1? Pretty good odds for a guy like Eric Jones.
Yeah, keep in mind, though, Eric Jones is no longer in the 20 Gibbs car. He's now in the 43 car, which was Bubba Wallace last year. And that's not the same level of machine. And that's why Bubba Wallace will be a very interesting guy to watch now that he's in the new Michael Jordan, Denny Hamlin, number 23 car, because that's basically the fifth Gibbs car. And Wallace finished second in the duel last night. He was running top three most of the race. Eric Jones is an excellent driver. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do, though, Gabe. I'll be very interested to see how Jones runs the first few weeks on real tracks, because if he struggles, that makes me like Bubba Wallace more in the 23 this year. If Jones does very well in the 43, that makes me think Wallace just isn't a good driver. So that is somebody to keep an eye on and one of the guys I've got circled to watch every week.
Well, it's interesting, Steve, because I brought this up earlier. So let me ask you about this, because I said Bubba Wallace gets a lot of hype, but and now he's got Michael Jordan, and yet he's not a great driver. He's good. I'm not saying he's not good, but I think he'll be overpriced and a little bit overvalued. But as you stated, now he's in a better machine, and you're seeing the results already. So you sort of have to say, because I was thinking, you know, even head-to-head matchups. All right, you know, if Wallace is getting all this hype, maybe we can make some money along the way. Not in this race. Head-to-head's not great in Daytona, but just moving forward. But as you stated, so, you know, the pressure's on Wallace right now in this car, right, Steve? And I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah, I need to see something first. He's been actually decent on the restrictor plate tracks, even with Petty in the 43 car. So he could run very well this week, and it would not change my opinion one way or the other. I need to see, and even next week, by the way, next week they stay at Daytona for the road course, which won't tell us much. The third race is at Miami in a couple weeks. That's the ultimate mom-and-a-half cookie cutter. We'll see how he runs there. Hard for me to imagine out of the gate that he's going to be a top five or top 10 car, even in a Gibbs machine with all the new crew, you know, all the new moving pieces there. But Eric Jones will be a guy worth keeping an eye on the first month or so, because if he runs well in the 43, that tells me Bubba Wallace is overrated. By the way, Christopher Bell is now in the 20 car for Gibbs. He had a nice rookie season last year in an inferior machine. He could be a guy to definitely keep an eye on all races this year. And he looked pretty good in the duels last night, was top five for quite a while.
You know, we were talking about William Byron and Amarola. What about Amarola at 14-1, Steve?
Yeah, look, he's won on these tracks with lesser teams in years past. He's one of those long shot winners on restrictor plates at Daytona, and he wins the duel last night. He's one of Harvick's teammates, and Clint Bowyer, who's now retired, was on that team last year. Bowyer was always strong on these tracks. So yeah, Almirola is definitely not a sleeper anymore at 14-1. But you know, one thing I wanted to mention: everybody except for Hamlin is 10-1 or higher. You know, normally the top five or six guys are less than 10-1. So this is random, but you can play an extra two or three drivers this week and still make money if one of them hits at those odds.
Well, that's why, Steve. I mean, you look at Denny Hamlin, and I like him. I think, you know, I like the chasing history aspect. I know there's randomness to it. I like it. And you could argue, well, you're only getting 8-1, though. Yet, I told Cam earlier, I said, Cam, during the regular, like, once you get into the routine, Kevin Harvick is routinely plus 250 to win it. Right? So 8-1 is not bad odds, actually. We'll wrap up a barrel on the other side. Bring it.
We do this 24 hours a day, working hard to bring you the news you can use.
Get on the grid.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
As our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering, real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Believe it or not, you can listen too much to us. Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night?
That's what she told us.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Three-minute warning, level one. Friday Night Free Show. This is Sports Grid. I am Renzi. Checking in. Steve Merrill, Wager Talk TV. So, Steve, I was just telling people in our chat during a commercial break that NASCAR, for the people that, you know, aren't experienced NASCAR bettors, but, you know, I like betting on NASCAR. I think NASCAR can be very profitable. And, you know, there's comparisons to golf in a way. Me can't talk about it, but golf is more random, man. There's 140 guys in a golf tournament. And, you know, it's very random. Guys always win at 80-1 and 60-1 in golf. Doesn't happen much in NASCAR. There'll be the few exceptions, and sometimes in the Daytona 500. But would you agree, Steve? The thing is, in NASCAR, we see it. There's a team and a garage and a driver that's ahead of everybody. Whether it's technology, whatever it is, they know. But, you know, you ride the hot hand. We talk about it, Steve, betting baseball. I fight NASCAR, same thing. You don't fight it. Remember, like, Kevin Harvick would win every week? You bet it. You know, Kyle Busch 1 year wins every week? You bet it. We'll just, you know, dial in on who that hot guy is, Steve. It'll take, you know, four or five. Like you said, the first two races are kind of random. But moving forward, that's what I like about NASCAR. Really only a handful of guys actually win, Steve, all the time.
Right, and there's 36 races, only four restrictor plates, two at Talladega, two at Daytona. There's like maybe three or four road course now. We got the extra Daytona one, and then, of course, we had the Charlotte Oval. That's four, and they got a dirt race this year. But still about, you know, the majority awesome. Of the schedule is 1 to 2 mile tracks, like I said, in Miami coming up. And those are the bread and butters. And Denny Hamlin and Harvick won like basically almost all those races after the restart last year. It was that simple. It was either Hamlin or Harvick every week. Not like golf. There's certain types of tracks where guys just dominate all season, whereas Kyle Busch just never could get it right last year.
All right, we got to get out of here, Steve. So give us the winner of the Daytona 500.
I'll give you the top three, Penske, in any order you want. Logano, Blaney, and Keselowski. I'll take Blaney if I had to pick one.
Merrill in the Penske files. The Penske files with Steve Merrill. Great stuff, Steve. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
They're not Penske material.
We should come with a warning label.
Caution.
24-hour sports talk
may cause mild addiction.
Get on the grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.